Welcome to Good Hope Through Grace.
Welcome to Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'd like to draw your attention tonight to the Gospel of John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1. And we're going to bring a message tonight entitled The Word. Now, I'd like to read the verses that deals with the Word, verses 1 through 3 and also verse 14. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So remember, our title is called The Word. Now, we've got to identify what is the text speaking of when it's speaking of the Word. Now, sometimes when we're talking about the Bible, we refer to it as the Word. Indeed, it is the Word of God. But in this particular text, it's not talking about a book. It's rather talking about a person. Verse 14 makes that crystal clear, I believe. It says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And, of course, when you're talking about the Word being made flesh, it's speaking of Jesus. It goes on to say in the latter part of verse 14, we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father. Of course, when we talk about Jesus, He is God's only begotten Son. So one of the things we want to realize in the text is this indeed, when we're looking at this message entitled The Word, in this context, it's speaking of a person. Verse 14 makes clear that that person is Jesus Christ. Now, great Bible truths are revealed in this text about the Word, which is Jesus in this context. And we want to bring out those truths tonight in the radio broadcast. Now, first of all, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was with God. Now, this stresses the fact that before Jesus took flesh, that He was with God. He was with the Father. This stresses His pre-existence. Jesus is different from all other men that ever came, that's ever been born onto this earth. Of course, my existence began when I was born, and so did yours. Jesus is different. He was born, certainly, in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, as the Bible tells us, and as history tells us, but also where He's different is that before He was born, He was in heaven. He was with God. That's the stressing of it. He was with God. So when He was born, He came down from heaven to be born. And He was pre-existed. He pre-existed. And that's what's stressed by showing us that He was with God. And He was with God in the beginning. John chapter 13, in talking about Jesus, said, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things in His hands, and that He was come from God, and He went to God. Now, notice it stresses that He come from God. So, this stresses His preexistence. So, the Word was with God. That is, Jesus was with God. He didn't begin in Bethlehem. He actually goes back to the very beginning, which we're going to look about here in a little bit, and before the very beginning. He was before the foundation of the world. As a matter of fact, Jesus has always been. Now, let's go ahead and get to second. That's the first truth. It stresses truth number one about the Word in this text is that He was with God. In the beginning of Bethlehem, He was with God. He was with God in the beginning. That's what verse 2 says. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, it goes on to stress the next truth is that not only was the Word with God, but the Word was God. This stresses Jesus' deity. Not only was Jesus took on a human body and was man, but Jesus also was God in the flesh. When you're talking about the deity of Christ, you're simply saying that Jesus was God. And one of the things the Gospel of John does is it stresses the fact that Jesus was God. That's the reason why when you look at how the Gospel of John begins this great book, it stresses right from the beginning that Jesus was God. Jesus was God in the flesh. Now, one of the things that you'll notice is it's trying to draw your attention to this fact. As a matter of fact, you'll notice verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And you look down in the verse 2, it says the same was in the beginning with God. Now, most generally, if you look back at Genesis chapter 1 and you use the term in the beginning, you think about creation. Well, what John is doing by using this in the beginning was the Word is he's drawing attention to the fact that Jesus was in the beginning. That the God of Genesis 1:1 is also the Word that became flesh, stressing the fact that Jesus was God. The God of Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, is the same God that became flesh 2,000 years ago. So that's twice it uses the term. In verse 1, it uses the term in the beginning. Verse 2, it uses the term in the beginning. So Jesus was with God and Jesus was God. Now, how could Jesus be with God and be God at the same time? Well, we realize that God is in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three are God, and all three are one. He was with God, and he was God. When Jesus sent forth the disciples to go forth and carry out the commission, I believe they done that as a church. I believe the disciples made up the first church. Acts chapter 2, you have 3,000 added to the church in Acts chapter 2. And their job, and this is the job of every church that has been started since then, is to spread the gospel, make disciples, baptize, and then teach them. Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And baptize them, it also says, in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. So there you see all three are used. When you use the term baptism in Jesus' name, it simply means under Jesus' authority. Jesus is the one that gave the authority to carry out the commission. And we baptize because that we want to picture the message that the Lord used to save our soul, the death, burial, and resurrection. That's called the gospel. And when you look at a baptism, you see a picture of that particular message. But when you're talking about the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that's how Jesus could be with God as the Son. I mean, God the Father is distinct in his form. God the Son is, and so is the Holy Spirit. They're all distinct. Sometimes you see all three of them. For instance, at Jesus' baptism, you see all three of them. But yet, they're all referred to as God. So that he could be with God, and at the same time, he was God. John stresses this fact not only by pointing you to the beginning, but also in the Gospel of John chapter 14, he expressly says that he was God. John 14, it says in verse 7, if ye had known me, you would have known my Father, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip said unto the Lord, talking to Jesus. Remember, Jesus is the Word made flesh. He was with God, and he also was God. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll suffice us. Show us the Father, Philip says. Jesus said, have I been so long a time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? So there Jesus identifies himself with the Father. He's stressing the fact that he was God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, in talking about Jesus, that he was the express image of his person. But 1 Timothy chapter 3 says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, who was God manifested in the flesh? Well, that was Jesus. Jesus was the Word made flesh. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16, it says that God was manifest in the flesh. Well, that's Jesus. Jesus was God in the flesh. He was the Word made flesh. One of the titles that's used for the Messiah, course, we realize the Messiah is the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the titles that's used for him in the book of Matthew chapter 1 is he's also referred to as Emmanuel. Notice it says in Matthew 1, verse 22, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel means God with us. And that's what the scripture says. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So Jesus was with God, as John 1 says. He was in heaven with the Father before he was ever born. But he was also identified as God, God the Son. And he took flesh. He took flesh for the purpose of paying the debt that we owe. So he was with God and he was God. So those are two truths that I want you to see. Now the third truth that I want you to see is that the Word who was made flesh was also the Creator. The one that said, let there be light. The one that created the universe and the galaxies and all that has ever been created. Of course, we are handiwork of God. Well, one of the things that you need to realize is the one that actually did the creation was Jesus. Jesus was the Creator. Let's notice that in the text also. It says in verse 3, all things were made by him. All things were made by him. The same was in the beginning with God, verse 2 says, but all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus was the Creator. Now you just think about that just a little bit. The same God that said, let there be light, was the same God that was nailed to the cross 2,000 years ago. He took flesh. The Creator took flesh. So Jesus not only was with God and was God, but Jesus was also the Creator. Verse 10 of John 1 says he was in the world. The world was made by him. And the world knew him not. Well, you talk about stressing the deity of Christ. John 1 certainly does do that. It's looking at Jesus as being God and stressing the fact that he was God. Now it's showing us that he was a creator. He's the creator. He's the one that spoke the world into existence in 6 24-hour days. There's no wonder. There's no wonder that he could calm storms. When he stood up on the end of the boat, on the occasion when he was in the boat with his disciples, and a storm had come while they were out at sea, and he stands upon the end of the vessel and says, peace, be still, and the storm stops. The wind and the waves knew the voice of the Creator. This was God. If he could take 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish and feed possibly, it says 5,000, but that's just 5,000 men. It doesn't record women and children that were fed that day. Possibly 10,000 people were fed by Jesus taking 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish and breaking them and feeding all of these people. How could he do that? He was the Creator. He was God. He could walk on water. How could he do that? He was the Creator. Demons knew who he was. How did they know him? Because they knew the Creator. My friend, Jesus was God. God in the flesh. But he was also the same God of Genesis 1 that spake this world and all that was in it into existence. You can see the Creator took flesh. And you can see the great power that he has as the Creator. No, his power knows no limits. But yet he came to this earth and took upon a flesh body. Now let's go ahead and give you some other verses to go with this, because sometimes you lose track of the fact that Jesus was the Creator. I tell you what, folks, to deny creation, to deny the Creator, is to deny Jesus. Because Jesus was the Creator and is the Creator. He's the one that made all things. He did it. So when Jesus took flesh, this was the Creator taking flesh for a purpose that we're going to show you here in just a little bit. Colossians chapter 1, in talking about Jesus, it says this. Verse 14, it says, we have redemption through his blood. Now who are we talking about? Redemption through whose blood? That's Jesus. We have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sins. That's all through Jesus. Now listen to this. He is the image of the invisible God. It says the firstborn of every creature. Now this doesn't mean Jesus was born. The idea of the word firstborn simply means He came before all creation. Just as someone in a family has a firstborn, it means that they came before everyone else. That's what it's stressing in the context of this scripture that we're looking at. He came before all creation. Now listen to this. By Him all things were created. By who? By Jesus. The same, by Him we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins. We're talking about Jesus. By Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Who's the creator? Jesus is. All things were made by Jesus. He made them all. He made them all. He had great power, my friend. That shows you that when He came to this earth, He laid His life down. And there's no way a man could take the Creator, the God that spake the world into existence, and nail Him to a cross without Him simply submitting to that. And He submitted to that for the purpose of saving us from our sin. The Creator became flesh so that He could go to a cross. Now, folks, that's overwhelming as you begin to think about it, that He would love us so much. You talk about condescending. It truly indeed is. He was willing to take flesh for us. So let's notice what we've studied so far. What does the text say? Our title tonight of the message is The Word. The Word. And we're not talking about a book, as I said. We're talking about a person. And the person that is speaking of in John 1, 1 through 3 is Jesus. We've done established that. He was the Word made flesh. Truth number one we've seen about Jesus was He was with God, which stresses His preexistence. He didn't begin in Bethlehem. He was in the beginning with God. Secondly, the next truth was He was God. Not only was He with God, but He was God. He was God. And that, of course, stresses the fact of His deity. Jesus was God. In other passages of Scripture, we notice that stresses that also. The Word was also the Creator. The Word was also the Creator. Not only was He with God and was God, but He was the Creator. He's the one that made all things. And now we've come to this last point, and we want to spend some time on this point about Jesus. It says that the Word became flesh. And we've mentioned this several times in the broadcast tonight. Why did He become flesh? Why did the Creator become flesh? The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 gives us the first reason I want to give you why He became flesh. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Grace means unmerited favor. "That though He was rich..." Now, when it says that Jesus was rich, if you look at Him when He was here on earth, why, He wasn't rich. He never owned a big house here on earth. He never had a lot of money. And He didn't care about such things as that. There was one that wanted to follow Him on occasion. He said, "The Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay His head." He didn't own His own home. He didn't care about worldly things. He came here for the purpose of service. He's the greatest servant that ever walked the planet. And He came here for the purpose of saving our souls and paying the debt that we owed. It says that He was rich. He was. You know, folks, anybody that's in heaven's rich. Anybody that's in heaven is rich. And Jesus, when He came, remember, He came from heaven to be born. He was pre-existed. He pre-existed. And He was rich. He was seated at the right hand of the Father on high. He was the Creator. He was rich. No limits to His knowledge or His power. Omniscient. Omnipotent. Oh, my friends, this is a great Savior, a great Redeemer. He was rich. Yet for your sakes, He became poor. He became poor. How did Jesus become poor? Well, he took a body. He took a body that needed, you know, he never had, when he was in heaven, he never had to eat. He never got tired. He never got weary. He never experienced pain and all these different things. So when he took a body of flesh, he became poor. He left the portals of heaven and come to this old wicked world. He became poor. Why would the Creator take a body of flesh so limited as that? Why did he do it? 2 Corinthians 8:9 says that for your sakes he became poor. For your sakes, for my sake and your sake he became poor, that through his poverty ye might be rich. He became poor that we might be rich. Rich. When you become a Christian, when you trust Christ as your Savior, you become rich. But in order to make you rich, he had to come to this earth and pay the debt that you owed. Matthew chapter 1 and the verse 21 says, thou shalt call his name Jesus. The word Jesus means Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus because he shall save his people. He shall save his people from their sin. That's why he became flesh, is to save you from your sin. But in order to save you from your sin, he had to take flesh. He had to take flesh, and he had to keep the law 100%. The Creator became flesh so that he could live a perfect life. No man that ever walked this planet was ever perfect except for Jesus. The Creator took flesh, and he kept the law 100%, never committed a trespass, no, not one. And that was a necessity. If he was going to pay the debt that we owed, it required the sacrifices of one that was perfect. That's the reason why in the Old Testament, the lambs had to be without spot and without blemish, because they pictured the perfect atonement that Jesus would make. Folks, Calvary wasn't no accident. Calvary was a plan. It was a plan since before the foundation, the very foundation of the world. In the Old Testament, all that sacrifice systems that God gave was done to picture what Jesus would do. He would be the substitute. The Creator would take flesh so that he could go to the cross and substitute himself for our sin. Boy, that is amazing love, is it not? That is amazing grace. Revelation chapter 13, in talking about Jesus, it says that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Acts chapter 2 says that he was delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. Creator took flesh. And he did that because he loved us. He loved us. He came to save his people from their sin. That's amazing, is it not? The Creator took flesh so that he could be crucified. Let me read you another verse. Galatians chapter 4 says this. It says, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law. That's why he was born, virgin born. Now, why did God send forth his Son? Why did he send him forth to be born? We done showed one reason why he was made flesh, so we'd be made rich. So our sins would be paid for. And you don't become rich until you have your sins paid for. You're not rich if you don't have victory over death. You're not rich if you don't have a home in the Father's house. You're not rich if you don't have eternal life. Jesus became poor that we through his poverty might be rich. He came also to redeem them that were under the law. Redeem means to set free from bondage. I'm a sinner and so are you. Romans 3 says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are under a debt that we cannot pay, and if we don't want to die under that, Jesus came to redeem us. He lived that perfect life as we said, and he went to Calvary then. And he met all the demands that the law had made. The law demands a death for its breaking. The law demands 100% righteousness. You have both of those things in Jesus. When you receive Jesus, you have his righteousness charged to your account, and you have your sin charged to him, and you stand before God justified. My friend, that's why he took flesh. He came to redeem them that were under the law, that ye might receive the adoption of sons. He makes us his children. Children of God. And because you are children, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and an heir through Christ. Folks, that's awesome, is it not? That's why the Creator took flesh. That's the purpose behind it. Well, my friend, when you look at this great God, this great Creator, this great King who came and took a flesh body so that he could pay the debt that we owed, my friend, what is left for you to do now? Well, you need receiving. You need to know more and know about it. You need to receive him. You can't be saved unless you receive him. It's more than believing that there's a God. You have to receive him. It's like knowing a medicine can make you better. Just knowing a medicine can make you better don't make you better. You have to receive it. Let me read now from John chapter 1. It says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Talking about Jesus. But as many as received him. See, they receive him. Receive him as Messiah. Receive him as Savior. To them gives he authority to become the sons of God or the children of God, as even to them that believe on his name. Now you have to receive him. If you want to have the riches of knowing Christ, the riches that comes with salvation, if you want to have your sins paid for, be saved from your sin, you have to receive him. If you don't receive him, you'll die in your sin. Jesus told the unbelieving Jews in John chapter 8. It says, if you believe not that I'm he, you'll die in your sin. That same thing is true of you. Well, folks, tonight I presented the Word. And I showed you the details about him, the truths about him. I showed he was God. I showed he was with God. I showed you that he was the Creator. And then I showed you that he was made flesh. And I showed you why. He became flesh that he might make you rich. Then I showed you that you need to receive him. Won't you receive him? Do you see who Jesus is? Do you know who he is? Do you know him? Oh, I pray that you do. If right now you'll see yourself a sinner and realize why Jesus came, and you receive him, and he'll make you his child. May God add his blessings.
That will conclude this week's Good Hope Through Grace. We want to ask you to join us again next week at 7:30 on Monday evening, or you can join us anytime on the web at www.ghtg.org. Good Hope Through Grace is sponsored by the Elizabeth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 75, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011.